Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hey, UK Bills Mafia. This is Christian Wade of your Buffalo Bills. This is the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast with your hosts, Matt and Alex. Let's go, Buffalo! Woo!
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast, Bills News with a UK twist. Joining Alex, it's me, Matt. Alex, how are you doing?
I've had the sniffles since August.
COVID.
It's not a symptom. I think maybe just in my advancing age, I'm developing allergies to something. But yeah, apologies if I sound like shit on today's show.
Allergies to Bill's losses.
That sounds about right. It started with the Rams game for sure, and then since then it's just been the performance is killing me. I think.
I'm going to put in inverted commas a bye week this week for the Bills when they go to the 0-6 Jets, and I think you just got to have put the one question in there. Is they always say good teams find a way to bounce back.
Yeah.
Can Josh Allen and this offense find a way to to bounce back?
Well, they have the best opportunity to do so. I want to talk about the defense first, though, because that's the side of the ball where we need to get right first.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So there's no reason why this shouldn't be like a 27-10 game. You play some sport. I've played a bunch of different sports, and confidence is so important. Like when I would play baseball, if I went up to the plate doubting myself, I would very much strike out, you know. But if you, if you feel good, you know, the saying that we have is, you know, look good, feel good, play good. If you have that confidence, then you're going to play better. It's just the way it works. So a solid defense effort this week could do wonders for their confidence going forward, especially heading into a big game next week. But I still, you know, even though I mentioned, you know, next week, still got to beat this team. If this game comes down to like 27-24, then I think that this defense can really probably start to panic and be like, hey, can we do this? And then going into the rest of the season, that's not where you want your headspace to be.
No, exactly. I mean, it's all about the mentality. I mean, we're just hopeful that the Bills have actually put the last 2 weeks out of their heads now. And
I mean, you don't want to forget the game right after the game because you need to learn from it.
Yeah. So it's a case that they've got to get in that mindset now, and hopefully, as I said earlier, good teams find a way to bounce back. Good coaches have got to find a way to bounce back and get players
into
positions to make that stand. And I mean,
yeah,
you're looking at potentially going up against Flacco rather than Darnold. Even then, they're both Darnold and Flacco are pretty much the same as the same. They are actually at the moment one of the poorer quarterbacks in this league. Darnold
when you look at the big picture, they're the same because they're not producing. But when you look at what Darnold can do compared to what Flacco can do, they're two very different quarterbacks. And I know that Darnold was limited in practice this week, so we don't know exactly if he's going to play. The injury report, the out designation might come later today. But Darnold's got legs, he's got gumption, he's got balls, and Flacco is a statue who plays safe football. So I think in either situation, it might be good for us. You know, a hobbled Darnold, I'm not hobbled, but, you know, a Darnold who's not confident in his arm can do wonders for our secondary. But, you know, you look at the other New York quarterback, Daniel Jones, last night. The kid's got legs for for 80 yards. He doesn't have 90 yard legs. Embarrassing on that end. But I mean, Darnold can do the same thing. Darnold has beat us on the ground. He's been their best runner all season. So if Darnold plays, he can hurt us on the ground. If Flacco plays, that's what's going to be best for our defensive line. They're going to be able to hopefully get to him.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, Sam Darnold's passer rating this year is only 70.7%.
Yeah.
Josh is actually 108 on the dot.
Yeah, Darnold's ability to, you know, work the ball to his very bottom-tier receivers, bottom-tier tight end. Their offensive line is in the bottom 20s. So there's really nothing scary about this team or this game other than the fact that it's the NFL and anything can happen. But by God, it better not goddamn be this week.
Yeah, I think if there's anything with this defense and they actually end up pushing them really tight and all that, then it's something that really has got to be looked at, because it just gets to a point where you're thinking there is something in this team that needs to be changed, that somewhere the system and all that just needs to be looked at, different players brought in, different packages maybe, because you can't go around losing to a team who are towards the bottom of any of all the categories, especially on offense, and actually expect the defense to give up so much to them. I mean, the 29th ranked offense, 31st in passing and 16th in rushing. I mean, you've now got the likes of Frank Gore now as their as a backup. We know he can be a good runner on his day, but then they've got P. Ryan, who's not used to the game, who's not had some very meaningful snaps. So this is a good game for that defense to jump up from 25th, 25th upwards. But if we end up with a close game, the first game this season against the Jets, it was close, but that was the first game. No teams had any preseason games to warm up to. So that one we just put as a mulligan for the defense. But this week, there's no excuse for this defense not to stand up and be counted. If they do, and they actually come away with 5 sacks, a couple of takeaways, 4 fumbles, whatever, and actually dominate. I mean, if Miami can hold him to a donut, then is it a donut or is it a bagel for zero in American football? I can never remember.
I mean donut, anything with a hole in it, honestly, you know.
if I was doing cricket, it would be in a golden duck. It would be a duck. What? In cricket, if you're out for a zero, it's a duck. You're out for a duck.
Why?
I have no idea, but it's always been that way.
But somebody let us know, please. But first Jets game, right? We held them to 10 points. They scored a garbage time touchdown. If we do the same thing this week, hold them to 254 total yards, only 202 passing, 52 rushing yards. You know, they were 2 turnovers, 3 sacks. They're very undisciplined. They had 9 penalties for 95 yards. They only held the ball for 18 minutes. 4 of 11 on third down. If we have the same game, I don't care if it's 27-17 again, because whatever, garbage time touchdowns, whatever. 27-10 is where the game should have ended. That would be exactly what we want to see. You know, just a complete and utter repeat of week one, where Josh threw for 300, you know. Singletary had... Singletary had, he was 9 for 30. Zach Moss was 9 for 11. Allen led the team in 57 rushing yards. So the team still needs to sort out the running game. That's the most important thing. And I think that should be focused this week. If Josh only throws for like 220 yards, but if Singletary has 70, if Moss can have 50, 60, that's exactly what I want to see. A team that can run 200, 150, 200 yards a game.
Yeah, I mean, as I say, if the Dolphins can hold the Jets to zero, and the Dolphins have actually, I will admit, this is actually becoming starting to become a good team now under Flores, and I think could make the to make the playoffs, not as a not as the AFC East champions, but make it in there anyway. That. Why can't our defense? I mean, yeah, we'll have injuries and we'll go on to that a little bit later on. But you've got enough in there to make a statement, to put a stamp, especially when you want to build up that confidence when we have is it New England next week.
Yep.
You want to use this game as your bounce back.
It's gotta be your get right game. You gotta get right this game.
So We'll move on to the offense. How they're going to fix it? It's a question for you. We're going to put you on the spot on here. Their list come out with the highest drop rates among quarterbacks with at least 60 attempts this season. Where do you think Josh Allen comes in percentage wise?
It's weird that you'd talk about a quarterback's drop rate. I mean, he's not dropping the ball, but I would say
Drop rate by so wide receivers on there.
Yeah, wide receiver drop rate. Sure. Okay. I would probably put that around 18%.
Yeah, it's only 7.4%.
It feels a lot worse, doesn't it?
I don't know. I don't know where I've got this. Where this guy's got it from, but I'm just reading out anyway. It may have changed on there. But Jeff Driscoll was at top on 10.9. Drew Lock 8.1.
Oh, so Andy these Dalton, numbers 7.6. Are pretty low. Okay.
And Tom Brady, 7.2%. So it is an offense really that needs to have that statement, and hopefully we get the passing game going and open up that run game. That's something that definitely needs to be I can't think of the word now. Regenerate. Energize, that's the word, energized.
Yeah, no, this is a get-right game where every facet of this team needs to be able to see themselves perform at a high level, regardless of the opponent. If everybody looks good, they're going to feel good, and that's really important.
Go on.
Yeah, I wouldn't talk about, like, you know, when we talk about, you know, feeling right and getting right, I mean, that's kind of, you know, what Micah Hyde said is that, you know, he said they're close to sorting out what the issues are. So I think that this game might be a really good opportunity for them to try something different. Earlier, you said, you didn't. We were talking pregame that you have a quote from Daboll, right? What is it?
Yeah. I was reading an article by Matt Perino on Syracuse.com. DeBoer was asked the question, what's it going to take to actually get the running game back? He actually said, I've got to get them better plays.
Yes, so an opportunity like that where the offensive coordinator realizes that he needs to get a little bit creative, I think that would absolutely benefit this team. What we're seeing, Leslie Frazier was also listening, I want to see our defense try some stunts, try some, you know, just confuse the offensive line. Try and do something different. If that's what our offense has to do to get the ball running, then let's see it on the defense too. Let's really have that coach's meeting. Talk about, hey, what can we do that's different? Let's try and just really, I'm not talking trick plays. I'm talking just, you know, really just get creative with the base packages. And when we talk about packages, I mean, we can also talk about, you know, personnel. Are we going to see Harrison Phillips and Trent Murphy back? You know, we got Zimmer getting called up now, right? So he's on the active roster. I really wouldn't be bothered if they tried to move like a Jefferson or Addison and let Epinesa and Zimmer play more. We need to free up some money on that defensive line because it's not producing and it's overpaid. So a move here might benefit. Let's see if they can package Addison in a 3 for something. I mean, Yannick Ngakoue going to the Ravens just made their defense so much better and so more, so scarier. And then to I want to see us address a need like that. Mm. Elite teams do it at this time of the season.
Yeah. I mean, I'm liking bringing Zimmer up. I think he showed flashes in the game against the Chiefs that he could be a real handy player. I mean, I understand now, obviously, by the game plan that McDermott and Frazier had and all that, why Phillips and Murphy were actually healthy scratches for the game. I can see one, if not both of them, actually come back in. I think it's just trying to find the right combination. I mean, McDermott, I think, has come out and said that they're going to try and avoid this heavy rotation. Maybe that's possibly the reason why this defensive line is actually like this. The fact that they're rotating so many times up front, that front four, yes, I get it, because they want to keep everyone healthy and injury-free and all that. But it's just doing that all the time with different personnel, that front four, each single time, or every other snap or something like that, really does affect the continuity. I mean, it's a case you look at, keep them for a couple of series. Maybe if you do want to mix it up on third down, maybe change it once or twice. But actually, if you're going to keep a front four, just keep that front four for the majority and not chop and change, because that way is the only way really you can get that pressure going. Because chop and changing, the linebackers, the cornerbacks, they'll be doing their job. And it's just who's up front to actually do it. I mean, I would even say, you saying shop Addison, I would say try and cut down Jerry Hughes a little bit more.
But we talked last show about Hughes is effective.
Yeah, Addison could be effective as well.
Yeah, I think he could be, but I mean, the stats show that Hughes is. Addison isn't.
But then, okay, we're looking at pressure-wise, but obviously, sack-wise, I think what? Addison's got more sacks at the moment than Hughes.
That doesn't matter to me. The most important thing that a defensive line can do is make the quarterback make mistakes, either with a sack or a bad throw or an interception, and pressure rate is the most important thing that you can consider for an edge rusher. So
what's Addison's total pressure? I know Hughes
We weren't going to talk about this week, so I didn't get that stat, but
yeah.
You know, do me a favor. I'm going to go look that up. Please tell me what they were thinking with the Quentin Spain move.
What? Oh, God. To be honest, I actually don't know. I think there's rumors have it. There's a couple of things that that people say. Some are saying that he wasn't buying into the process now after signing that contract. Some saying that he didn't handle the motion well. He's been playing behind Ford, behind Winters, and even I don't think he got many snaps against the Chiefs. I mean, Bottiger got snaps on there. Maybe, and I think I had the discussion with someone, I can't remember who, that it could be the scheme. I mean, obviously for blocking schemes and like screen games and all that, they want a bit more athleticism. Maybe Spain doesn't give that athleticism that you actually need. He's more of a mauler at guard position. I think that's where you're potentially looking at on there. They're looking for the guys that actually can pull, can drag, and actually make those plays downfield. Maybe that's a reason. I think until Brandon Bean comes out and says and doesn't really say much about it. Obviously, we had that tweet from Quentin Spain that got deleted. It's one of those that I don't think we'll ever find a true answer for.
Yeah, what was the tweet? He said something about if you only knew.
Yeah.
That bothers me, right?
Yeah, so I think, I to be honest, I am not 100% sure on that one. I mean, it's, as I say, it could be numerous things. It could be just a case that they needed someone to bring Zimmer up, because there was a load of talk of people wanted to take Zimmer off the off the Bills practice squad, so they had to make a move. They got rid of Quinton Spain, saved a bit of money. Why couldn't they get rid of Bottiger or another one of those low guards on there? Maybe they've seen a bit more from someone on the practice squad over time, and then they're going to bring him, have him protected for the rest of the season. If they do that, there's so much you can really say about that really could be interesting going forward as to what's actually going on in that organization. Is there discomfort? Is this discomfort? Not discomfort. I can't think of the word now. Discomfort. No. Disheartened. I can't think of the word.
Man, this makes for great radio.
You just think me. I'm looking there through a dictionary trying to find the right word for it.
With Spain, I couldn't find defensive end pressure rates. I needed a little bit more time to do that, not 30 seconds. But with Spain, I hope he was just bitter and things are fine, because this is the closest the Bills have been to having a competent football team. And if there are behind-the-scenes issues, I just don't think I can handle that right now. I mean, we've been a joke for so long, and we look like we're finally putting it together. But then the defense falls apart. We cut one of our starters after just a few bad games. It's like, where's the faith in that? So hopefully he just did something stupid, and we're just not going to find out about it. Who knows? I don't know. But whether it's back to the defensive line, Hughes, Addison, Jefferson, you know, honestly, just do something different. I mean, Hughes doesn't have as much value because of his age, but I wouldn't be upset if anybody moved off that defensive line just to shake things up. But I think the most important thing comes down to the structure, the style, the play in the playbook, and that's where the change needs to happen. But, you know, we're getting away from the Jets preview. I think that no matter what the defense does, no matter what the offense does, this should be an easy win. We're looking like John Brown probably won't play. Milano and Feliciano, we're talking about trying to get those guys back into the lineup. They could just be riding the bike. McDermott said he wants to keep those things under wraps to keep our opponents guessing. I think we don't need all three of those guys to get a 27-13 win. What do you think?
I'd rather them actually put Brown and Milano on the shelf for this week. I think the only thing it's going to depend on, on whether Milano plays or not is Dodson. I mean, he's did not practice Wednesday and Thursday, so it's more likely he's going to be out. So it's now a question of are they going to run with Klein as in Milano's place if he doesn't go. You've got Andre Smith they could bring up, which I would rather see than potentially Klein, because Smith's the more athletic. And when you've got Herden and obviously the tight end of the Jets, that you're going to really look to an athletic linebacker coming in. But those two, regardless, I would actually sit Brown and Milano. You get them fit for New England, where it's going to be more of a game. I mean, the interesting one for sure is obviously Cody Ford. He's day by day. He did not practice Wednesday and Thursday, which makes the Quinton Spain release even more puzzling.
Yeah.
Because
Something clearly had to have happened there, or they just really think that he's dropped off and Winters provides them something else, or maybe Feliciano's going to play this week and that's why they thought it was going to be okay. It's really possible. Tough to say.
You may have the offensive line against the Jets of Dawkins, Winters, Morse, Feliciano, Williams, or Dawkins, Dawkins, Botka, Morse, Winters, and Williams. I mean, the interesting one, and this may affect the offense quite a little bit more, is now looking at the injury report, it's not going to be that bad. We had both yesterday, both Knox and Croft out. They did not practice, but looking at it, Tyler Croft was a non-injury, and I believe it's because his wife actually gave birth. So that shouldn't really affect that. But it's not a bad injury report. I mean, Norman and White are limited, but you with hamstring and back injuries, you just want to manage them. I mean, I didn't see much.
They'll figure it out. Yeah, they'll both be fine, I think, for this week.
But it's, as I said earlier, it's a game where you're now looking at, can you actually find that bounce back and actually make this a statement game and build that confidence going into New England. I mean, we'll hit 30 points I believe quite easily on there. Josh is going to get back to his 300 yard game. He's going to have three touchdowns or a rush touchdown, four touchdown game. And I could potentially see a breakout for one of the running backs in this game. I think that there'll be a rocket fired up somewhere, and this this running back game hopefully will come alive, and the ball will actually get the game ball for opening it up.
Let's hope that they save some weird stuff for New England, because I think that's going to be important. I'm going to go, I already said 27-13. I'm going to say three defensive turnovers and a defensive touchdown.
That's fair enough. Okay, so 20 there. So I'm going to go 34. I'm going to give them a touchdown, garbage time touchdown. I think that's going to happen. I'm going to say 34-7.
Oh, wow. So
I don't think they're going to get double figures with them, so we'll see what actually happens. You got anything else to add?
I'm just so glad we have a 1 o'clock game this week. The time difference, it's 5 o'clock our time, so that's even better.
So yeah,
football, let's go.
Yeah, so
late afternoon football.
Well, yeah. It's actually, yeah, because obviously, don't forget, everyone, the clocks go back on Saturday night. Hence, why we've got an early start. And if there's nothing else that you want to add,
no, let's just do this. Let's make this an easy game, guys, and let's move on. All right.
And then on that note, it's thank you for listening. Following us, keep following all our social media accounts. You don't really need me to go over them because I say them so many times, but at UK Bills, definitely on Twitter, Buffalo Bills UK.
Oh, so you're going to do it anyway? You just said you weren't going to, then you...
no, I was only going to do two. The two main ones that we want to promote, the at UK Bills one and the Buffalo Bills UK YouTube and Facebook page. There we go. Okay, three. I lied. I'm not going to do any more than that. But it is from me and Alex. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you for subscribing. And we will see you for the review show when the Bills will be hopefully 5-2. So all we can left to say is go Bills.
Go Bills.
Not us.
Not us.
You don't know anything about heart? You don't know anything about work?
No. Huh?
That's who we are.
Bills on three. One, two, three.